Chapter 3, The Principles of Stellar Healing. From what has been said relative to stellar anatomy and stellar diagnosis, it should be apparent that, whether or not their practitioners recognize it, the success of all non-physical methods of treatment, including metaphysical healing, New Thought healing, Christian truth healing, mental healing, divine healing and yoga healing depends upon altering the composition, the activity or the organization of the thought cells within the astral form. As the thought cell organization of the finer forms constitutes the soul, which is identical with that which the material scientists call the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind, that which is attempted by each of these methods is soul healing. Each and every one of these processes by which the soul is beneficially changed, therefore, can properly be termed a method of thought cell treatment. The general principle involved in the mentioned methods of soul healing is to bring about thought cell and thought structure changes by prayer, affirmation, suggestion, or other means of directing thoughts to the accomplishment of the healing process. In stellar healing also, thoughts are directed to the healing of the soul. But it embraces three valuable factors not employed in other methods of healing by non-physical means. 1. Before healing is attempted, stellar diagnosis is employed to determine exactly which thought cells and thought cell structures are chiefly responsible for the physical disease. While a general health treatment commonly also is employed, in addition, thoughts and other energies selected are then directed to the specific groups of thought cells needing to be altered to bring about the healing. 2. The thoughts and other energies thus utilized are not general in nature, but are carefully selected to provide antidotes or a type of energy specifically adapted best to change the discord of the inharmonious thought cells and thought structures needing treatment into the harmonious state which will bring health. 3. As planetary energies of specific progressed aspects always contribute discord or intensity, or both, to the thought cell activity, before these have the power and discord necessary to attract disease, other planetary energies selected specifically to give these same thought cells harmonious activity even as a harmonious progressed aspect would do are employed by the stellar healer to reinforce the thoughts he uses in the soul healing process. Even as the physical cells and organs of the material body have intelligence and know how to perform definite functions, so also the stellar cells and stellar structures within the soul are intelligent, perform functions, and have desires, which are not under the direct supervision of objective consciousness. Their intelligence is limited, but they know how to perform certain types of work, and how to exercise extra physical power to bring about the physical events they desire. This extra physical power by which the stellar cells attract not only health or disease, but influence also all other events that enter the life, is the same as that now recognized in our universities as the psychokinetic effect. We are justified, I believe, in considering man's physical body, his inner plane form, as mapped by his birth chart, and his thoughts as different parts of himself. He exists in, and is influenced by, two different environments. The physical world, including the people and objects he contacts and the food he eats, embraces the outer world environment. Astrological energies, other people's thoughts, the astral radiations of objects both of the outer and the inner plane, and the influence of the spirits of the dead and the denizens of the astral world constitute the inner world environment. And insofar as a great amount of research conducted by the three research departments of the Church of Light has been able to reveal, the inner world environment on an average has just about as much influence over the individual and what happens to him as does the outer world environment. The people and the conditions he meets in the outer world environment stimulate certain thoughts and emotions, And the astrological and other energies he contacts in the inner world also stimulate certain thoughts and emotions. These thoughts and emotions, regardless of the source of their stimulation, influence the desires of his thought cells and thus powerfully affect the events that come into his life. His thought cells bring events into his life, such as they desire, including disease or health, through influencing his behavior, and through bringing extra physical pressure to bear upon his physical organism and his physical environment. From our studies of the manner in which progressed aspects coincide with characteristic events, we are warranted in concluding that on an average the events which come into the individual's life are about equally due to his physical behavior and to the pressure which, unknown to him, his thought cells, working from the inner plane, bring to bear upon his environment. Knowledge of how both environments affect man, and of the intelligence, nature and power of the stellar cells leads the stellar healer to four important conclusions. 1. Not only the diseases of the physical body, but all the ills which beset human life can be successfully treated by the methods of stellar healing. 2. In such treatment, if it is to prove successful, the desires of the thought cells must be so changed that they will desire, and therefore work for, the things which the individual also desires. 3. The thought cells desiring the things which the individual also desires must possess or be given enough energy that their extra physical power is sufficient to bring whatever change in the physical body or the physical environment is necessary to complete the healing. 4. The greater the facilities afforded the thought cells by the physical environment, the less extra physical power they will need to complete the healing. Chapter 4 of the reference book, Progressed Aspects of Standard Astrology 1, is devoted to explaining and illustrating the fact that what takes place in the individual's life at any given time is the product of the facilities of physical environment and the pressure brought to bear upon the physical environment by the stellar cells. The greater the resistance offered by physical environment to the events and conditions the thought cells desire, the more power the thought cells must have to be able to bring these events and conditions into the individual's life. The stellar cells desiring because their own discords make them feel so miserable destruction of the physical body or some part of it, need have only the additional energy afforded by a weak progressed aspect to cause the body to be attacked by disease, if facilities for the disease are sufficiently present in the environment. Lack of vitamins in the food, overabundance of proteins or starch in the food, mineral poor foods, contact with virulent bacteria or viruses, and exposure to wet and cold, lower the resistance of the environment to the pressure of the disease-seeking stellar cells. On the other hand, even the most powerful discordant progressed aspect may be unable to give the disease-seeking stellar cells enough activity to overcome the resistance offered them by the physical body, if the foods are employed as precautionary actions, which are recommended for the particular progressed planetary affliction in the 5B of L Lessons on Stellar Dietetics Nose. 153, 222, 223, 224 and 225. Yet in spite of any possible diet, and in spite of any probable facilities for health afforded by the most favorable physical environment, if the individual reinforces the disease-seeking stellar cells by powerful discordant thoughts during the time they receive energy from either a weak or a powerful progressed aspect, they may gain activity enough that they can overcome such resistance, and the individual will become ill. Health or disease, or other material condition, is not dependent exclusively upon thought cell activity, as influenced by thinking and planetary energies, nor is it dependent exclusively upon physical behavior and physical environment. It is dependent upon the reaction between thought cell activity and physical conditions. Physical remedies, therefore, if properly selected and applied, may play an important part in the healing process. Let those who teach otherwise go without food and water for a few weeks, or without air for as little as 10 minutes. 1 out of print. The use of astrological energies in healing not only is the power and harmony or discord of each type of thought cell activity within the finer form mapped by the planets in the chart of birth, but a progressed aspect to a planetary terminal in the birth chart, or progressed chart adds energy to, and increases the activity of, the thought cells mapped by the terminals involved in the progressed aspect. The commencement of any disease not present at birth always coincides with one or more progressed aspect which is characteristic and provides the progressed constants of the disease. Other and usually more harmonious progressed aspects give thought cell activity, which works to attract health. Some 3,300 years ago, our good brother, Akhenaten of Egypt, as explained in detail in Chapter 1 of the reference book, Astrological Lore of All Ages, developed a method by which a stellar healer could deliver to the selected group of thought cells of a patient harmonious planetary energy of the type desired and in a manner which would produce the same change and activity of the thought cells as would be induced by harmonious progressed aspect from the planet. He had found that the inner plane and the outer plane can influence each other only through a boundary line electromagnetic energy, and that the electromagnetic energy of the body is a natural conductor of planetary and other inner plane energies, which at the time are tuned to a corresponding frequency. And he had found that it is possible to tune the nerve currents, which we now know to be electromagnetic, to the decay of electromagnetic vibration corresponding to the astral vibration of any selected planetary energy, and thus direct the planetary energy along with the electromagnetic energy of corresponding vibration through the hands to the zone of the body to be healed. Organic electromagnetic energy, in the West commonly called animal magnetism, and in the East commonly called prana, is the natural conductor of astral energy. As water is a ready conductor of electricity, so the electromagnetic nerve currents are ready conductors of astral vibrations, with this difference, that the electromagnetic currents moving over the nerves pick up and most readily conduct astral energies which, although perhaps of a higher decay, have a similar vibratory rate. It is because the thought cells mapped by Sun, Moon and Mercury have such ready access to, and so powerfully influence, the electromagnetic form and the nerve currents, that these three planets are so significant in the birth chart, and their thought cells have more power than those mapped by some other planet similarly placed and having the same aspects. The Sun thought cells rule, and are in constant contact with the electrical energies of the body. The Moon thought cells rule, and are in constant contact with the magnetic energies of the body. The Mercury thought cells rule, and are in constant contact with the cerebral thoughts and the electromagnetic currents that move over the nervous system. Because electromagnetic energy must be present to permit the thought cells to reproduce their condition and to realize their desires in the physical cells and functions, and because electromagnetic energy in ample volume must be present, if the physical cells and organs are to be healthy and strong, it is good practice for the stellar healer to give a general electromagnetic health treatment as a prelude to the specific treatment in which selected planetary energies are delivered to the thought cells corresponding to the afflicted zones or organs. After this general treatment designed to give vitality and health to the body as a whole, in which thoughts of perfect health are carried to the consciousness of the physical cells and organs by the electromagnetic energies delivered to them, the stellar healer gives the more special treatment, in which the thoughts selected for this purpose are delivered to the thought cell groups chiefly responsible for the disease along with the planetary energy most adapted to change their composition, organization and desires in the direction of health. To do this, through mood control he tunes his feelings, and thus the electromagnetic energies flowing over his nerves and from his fingers, to the vibratory rate of the planetary energy, which he thus seeks to deliver to the thought cells of his patient. Then he either places his hands over the zone, where the planet is located, which is the chief source of the difficulty, or better still, he places one hand over the zone and the other on the opposite side of the limb or body, so that the selected planetary energy will travel along the electromagnetic circuit thus established. In addition to this direct method of reaching the thought cells with the selected thought and planetary energy, the spine also should be treated by placing the hands close together along either side of the backbone, where the nerves branch, off which reach the zone or organ to be treated. As Chapter 3 of the reference book Body Disease and its Stellar Treatment 2 considers in detail the endocrine reactions to planets and thoughts, and as the function of each endocrine gland and its planetary rulership in relation to diet are also set forth in the 5 lessons on stellar dietetics 2, endocrine secretions will merely be mentioned here in connection with the planetary energies to which each reacts. But both for diagnosis and treatment purposes, the zones of the body ruled by each sign and the structure or organ ruled by each planet will here be recorded. Sign rulerships: Aries rules the head and face, the upper jaw, and the cerebrum, or upper hemisphere of the brain. 2 out of print. See Astrology 30 Years Research. Taurus rules the neck, the ears, palate, tonsils, cerebellum, or lower lobes of the brain, the occipital region, larynx, pharynx, and vocal cords. Gemini rules the shoulders, arms, hands, bronchi, and the lungs. Cancer rules the lower part of the lungs, the breasts, the diaphragm, and the stomach. Leo rules the spine and back, and the heart. Virgo rules the abdominal and umbilical region, the duodenum, and the intestines. Libra rules the lumbar region, the kidneys, the ovaries, the seed, and the internal generative organs in general. Scorpio rules the sinus or pelvis of the kidneys, the ureters and bladder, the sigmoid flexure, rectum, prostate gland, uterus, and external generative organs in general. The nose also seems to respond somewhat to the activities of Scorpio. Sagittarius rules the hips and thighs and the sciatic nerve. Capricorn rules the region of the knees. Aquarius rules the legs below the knees and the ankles. Pisces rules the feet and toes. Planetary rulership: Sun rules the vitality, influences the spleen, where the vital electric energy is stored, and the heart, which pumps the blood to the various parts of the body. It rules the spine, and has a decided influence upon the action of 2 front pituitary hormones and the thyroid gland. Moon rules the constitutional magnetism, influences the medulla oblongata and base of the brain where magnetic energy is stored, rules the fluidic and lymphatic system of the body, and has considerable influence over the eyes. It also has a decided influence upon the action of the back pituitary gland, the thymus gland, and the hormones of the alimentary tract. Mercury rules the brain and nervous system, and has a determining effect upon the frequency of the electromagnetic vibrations of the body. It rules the nerve currents, the mouth and tongue, and also has a decided influence upon the action of the parathyroid glands and one hormone of the front pituitary gland. Venus rules the venous blood and the veins, skin and hair. It also has a decided influence upon the action of the thyroid gland and the gonad glands. Mars rules the muscular system and the red corpuscles of the blood. It also has a decided influence upon the gonad glands and upon the secretion of both adrenaline and cortisol by the adrenal glands. As these are the chief chemicals with which the body fights toxic conditions and invasion by bacteria, an afflicted Mars predisposes to fevers, blood poison, abscesses, and various types of infection. The infection occurs because the body does not have at hand the chemicals with which it otherwise would oust the invaders. Wounds, abrasions, cuts, tears, surgical operations, and hot, dry, feverish complaints are typical of Mars afflictions. It tends to violence and to acute and painful diseases. Jupiter rules the arterial system of the body, the liver, and the fats and glycogen stored as fuel. It also has a decided influence upon the manufacture and secretion of insulin by the pancreas gland. Saturn rules the bones and ligaments, the teeth, and the mineral salts of the body. It also has a decided influence upon the action of the adrenal glands in the manufacture and secretion of adrenaline, a decided influence over the spleen, and a decided influence over one hormone of the front pituitary gland. As the spleen is the storage battery of the vital electric energy, an affliction to Saturn tends to a condition of the spleen, in which it is unable to get and hold reserve energy. Saturn also tends to produce poverty in other essential things, such as lack of the proper elements in the food, lack of assimilative ability and, through inadequate adrenaline, lack of ability to draw on the emergency fuel supply. Saturn is negative and subtle in its influence. It tends to the accumulation of toxins in the blood, and to various chronic and wasting diseases, which persist because of lack of vigor and energy to remove their cause. Atrophy, tuberculosis, arthritis, and cancer are types of afflictions, which are characteristic of Saturn. Uranus, as the octave of Mercury, has considerable influence over the sensitiveness of the nervous system and the nerve currents which flow over it. Its action is to increase the potential and vibratory rate of the electrical energies generated by the nerves, encouraging high tension such as precedes cerebral hemorrhage or appendicitis. It also has a pronounced influence over the action of the parathyroid glands, and influences one hormone of the front pituitary gland. Neptune has very much the same influence over the action of the parathyroid glands that Mercury and Uranus do in giving sensitivity to the nervous system, and it influences the hormone of the pineal gland. Its most pronounced influence on disease is through the negative condition it induces through the action of the pineal hormone, to suppress and counteract the action of cortin. The excessive negative condition thus induced tends to the accumulation of toxins. Neptune is also the poisoner. And because it reduces the action of the typical Mars gland, so the poisons cannot be eliminated from the body, it favors the formation of pus and moist wasting diseases. It tends to perversions, to the use of narcotics and opiates, and is closely associated with the astral plane, is responsible for certain maladies caused by astral entities, which when severe enough become obsessions. Pluto, while having the drastic quality and sometimes the forcefulness of the watery sign Scorpio, which it rules, in most respects may be considered as a higher octave expression of the moon. It influences the hormone of the pineal gland, one hormone of the front pituitary, the one related to cooperative effort, the cortin hormone of the adrenal cortex, and secretions of the parathyroid glands. When its thought cell activity increases the pineal secretion, rather than cortin, we have much the same negative condition and susceptibility to toxic poisons as are brought about by the influence of Neptune. Pluto also tends to a sensitiveness to people's thoughts, and to the vibratory rates from the astral plane. Through its affinity with the 8th house rulership of Scorpio, it enables those on the inner plane of life to impress their thoughts in a recognizable form on the individual. These may be beneficial or they may be coercive, and tend to irresponsible mediumship or obsession. Where to give treatments through the nerves leading from the spine, it is, of course, quite beyond the scope of these lessons to teach physical anatomy. There are, however, 31 pairs of spinal nerves, which take their origin in the spinal cord, and make their exit from the vertebra. When some portion of the body is diseased or not functioning as it should, quite commonly there is a sensitiveness, or cold area, where the nerves leading to this portion of the body enter the vertebra. And the chiropractic school of therapy, basing its treatment on adjustments of the vertebra, gives us a very clear picture of just where these nerves lead. And because the stellar healer, not to give adjustments but to administer planetary energy, needs this information, what follows is taken from Encyclopedia of Medical Astrology, by H.L. Cornell, M.D. The spinal column is made up of 7 cervical vertebrae, 12 dorsal vertebrae, and 5 lumbar vertebrae. The sacrum is classed as number 25, and the coccyx as number 26. The count is made from the skull downward. First cervical atlas. The tissues and organs affected by the nerve supply passing through this vertebra are the brain, scalp, atlas, optic tract as far as the commissure, the cranial bones, the upper ear, ossicles, and the upper forehead. Second cervical axis. The nerves passing through this vertebra supply the brain, ears, a part of the face, and the back of the neck. The third, fourth and fifth cervicals are called the middle cervical place. Third cervical. The nerves which pass through the third cervical supply the retina, cheeks, nasal passages, and the face. Fourth cervical. Nerves passing through this vertebra pass to the eyes, cornea, retina, mouth, gums, teeth, bones and tissues of the face, the jaw, eustachian tubes, the outer ear, the posterior nares, nasopharynx, and the hyoid bone. Fifth cervical. The nerves, which pass through this vertebra go to the face, nose, eyes, lower jaw and teeth, the hyoid bone, and to the lateral and posterior muscles of the neck. The sixth and seventh cervicals are known as the lower cervical place. Sixth cervical. Nerves passing through this vertebra supply the larynx, vocal cords and surrounding tissues, the thyroid gland, palate, posterior part of the mouth, tonsils, upper part of shoulders, anterior parts of the arms, lower parts of neck, sternomastoid region, and upper parts of the bronchi. Seventh cervical. The nerves passing through this vertebra go to the trachea, windpipe, radius, upper part of arms, muscles on back of neck, and to the deltoid muscles of the shoulders. The seventh cervical and the first dorsal are called the arm place. First dorsal. The nerves, which pass through this vertebra supply the muscles of the arms, the humerus, ulna, bones of the hands, the clavicle, scapula and shoulders, the first pair of ribs, the manubrium and the upper bronchi. The second and third dorsals taken together are called the heart place. Second dorsal. Nerves passing through this vertebra supply the heart, its vessels and covering, the pericardium, the aorta, the bronchi, the second pair of ribs, hands, and muscles of the lower arms. The third and fourth dorsals together are called the lung place. Third dorsal. Nerves passing through this vertebra supply the chest, breast, nipples, lower sternum, the third pair of ribs, lower heart, lungs and pleura. Fourth dorsal. The nerves passing through this vertebra have a wide field of activity, going to the lower lungs, fourth pair of ribs, the liver, gallbladder and bile duct. The fourth and fifth dorsals are known as the liver place. Fifth dorsal. This dorsal is also called the center place. It is the general heart center, and the nerves passing through it supply the fifth pair of ribs. The sixth, seventh and eighth dorsals are grouped as the stomach place. Sixth dorsal. The nerves passing through this vertebra reach the sixth pair of ribs and about the same region as given under the seventh dorsal vertebra. Seventh dorsal. The nerves passing through this vertebra reach the stomach, esophagus, mucous membrane of mouth and stomach, tonsils, ovula, pharynx, palate, seventh pair of ribs, omentum, eyeballs, pupils, iris and cornea of the eyes. Eighth dorsal, the nerve supply through this vertebra passes to the lower part of the stomach, the pylorus. Duodenum, upper spleen, pancreas, diaphragm and eighth pair of ribs. Ninth dorsal, it is known as the spleen place, and the nerve supply passing through this vertebra goes to the spleen, omentum, duodenum, and the ninth pair of ribs. Then 10th, 11th and 12th dorsals are called the kidney place. 10th dorsal, the nerve supply passing through this vertebra goes to the upper kidneys, the suprarenal capsules, to the eyelids and to the 10th pair of ribs. 11th dorsal, the nerve supply passing through this vertebra goes to practically the same region as that through the 10th dorsal, and to the 11th pair of ribs. 12th dorsal, the nerve supply passing through this vertebra goes to the lower portion of the kidneys, the ureters, the end of the spine, the 12th pair of ribs, and rules the serous circulation. The first and second lumbars are known as the upper private place. First lumbar, the nerve supply through this vertebra passes to the ureters, loins, peritoneum and the upper small intestines. The second and third lumbars are known as the private place. Second lumbar, the nerve supply passing through this vertebra goes to the small intestines, vermiform appendix, ovaries, cecum, peritoneum, and to the muscles of the legs. Third lumbar, the nerve supply passing through this vertebra goes to the abdominal muscles, lower small intestines, cecum, colon, appendix, hepatic and splenic flexures, ovaries, broad ligaments, bladder, testicles, sexual organs, anterior muscles of the thigh, and to the knees. The fourth and fifth lumbars are known as the lower private place. Fourth lumbar, the nerve supply passing through this vertebra goes to the womb, vagina, bladder, prostate gland, large intestines, colon, rectum, pelvis, hip bone, buttocks, femur, posterior thighs, tibia, fibula and the feet. Fifth lumbar, the nerve supply passing through this vertebra goes to the uterus, rectum and buttocks. Sacrum, the nerve supply passing through the foramen of the sacrum goes to the womb, buttocks, posterior part of the thigh, and to the anus and rectum. Calculating the harmony or discord of a planet now, following the rules given in lesson number 198, let us calculate the harmony or discord of some of the planets in the John Edwards chart given on page 4 of this book, lesson number 197. In these calculations, reference should be made to the table of essential dignity values given on page 38 and the power grill given on page 39 of this lesson. This power grill shows the power of each aspect made by each planet calculated according to the rules given in lesson number 197. The Sun is in mutual reception with Jupiter, which gives it 5 harmodynes, and is in mutual reception with Neptune, which gives it another 5 harmodynes. The Sun thus has 10.00 harmodynes. Sun conjunction Mercury is neutral. Sun square Pluto has 2.73 astrodynes, which gives the aspect 2.73 discordynes. Sun opposition MC has 2.20 astrodynes, which gives the aspect 2.20 discordynes. 2.73 plus 2.20 gives the Sun 4.93 discordynes. 10.00 harmodynes minus 4.93 discordynes gives the Sun a net total of 5.07 harmodynes. The Moon is in its harmony, which gives it 1 harmodyne. Moon trine Mars has 3.50 astrodynes. Dividing 3.50 by 4 gives 0.88. 3.50 minus 0.88 gives the aspect 2.62 harmodynes. 1 plus 2.62 plus 2.17 gives the Moon 5.79 harmodynes. Moon opposition Saturn has 4.25 astrodynes. Dividing 4.25 by 2 gives 2.13. 4.25 plus 2.13 gives the aspect 6.38 discordines. Moon Squarusk has 6.17 discordines, which gives the aspect 6.17 discordines. 6.38 plus 6.17 gives the moon 12.55 discordines. 12.55 discordines minus 5.79 harmodines gives the moon a net total of 6.76 discordines. Mercury conjunction Sun is neutral. Mercury semi-sextile Venus has 1.57 harmodines. Dividing 1.57 by 4 gives 0.39. 1.57 plus 0.39 gives the aspect 1.96 harmodines. Mercury thus has 1.96 harmodines. Mercury square Pluto has 4.70 astrodines, which gives the aspect 4.70 discordines. Mercury parallel MC is neutral. Mercury opposition MC has 4.17 astrodines, which gives the aspect 4.17 discordines. 4.70 plus 4.17 gives Mercury 8.87 discordines. 8.87 discordines minus 1.96 harmodines gives Mercury a net total of 6.91 discordines. Venus is in its exaltation, which gives it 3 harmodines. As previously calculated, its semi-sextile with Mercury has 1.96 harmodines. Its parallel with Mars is neutral, as the 1/4 harmodines due to Venus is cancelled by the 1/4 discordines due to Mars. Venus conjunction Uranus has 7.60 astrodines. Dividing 7.60 by 4 gives the aspect 1.90 harmodines. Venus trine Pluto has 5.13 astrodines. Dividing 5.13 by 4 gives 1.28. 5.13 plus 1.28 gives the aspect 6.41 harmodines. 3.00 plus 1.96 plus 1.90 plus 6.41 gives Venus 13.27 harmodines. Venus opposition Saturn has 4.05 astrodines. As 1/2 is added for Saturn discordines, and 1/4 is subtracted for Venus harmodines, the difference is 1/4 in discordines. 4.05 divided by 4 gives 1.01. 4.05 plus 1.01 gives the aspect 5.06 discordines. Thus Venus has 5.06 discordines. 13.27 harmodines minus 5.06 discordines gives Venus a net total of 8.21 harmodines. Mars is at home, which gives it 2 harmodines. As previously calculated, its trine with the moon has 2.62 harmodines. Mars sextile Saturn has 3.75 astrodines. Subtracting 1/2 for Saturn and 1/4 for Mars leaves only 1/4 as harmodines. 3.75 divided by 4 gives the aspect 0.94 harmodines. Mars trine Uranus has 2.20 astrodines. Dividing 2.20 by 4 gives 0.55. 2.20 minus 0.55 gives the aspect 1.65 harmodines. Mars trine Pluto has 6.67 astrodines. Dividing 6.67 by 4 gives 1.67. 6.67 minus 1.67 gives the aspect 5.00 harmodines. Mars semi-sextile MC has 2.20 astrodines. 2.20 divided by 4 gives 0.55. 2.20 - 0.55 gives the aspect 1.65 harmodynes. 2.00 + 2.62 + 0.94 + 1.65 + 5.00 + 1.65 gives Mars 13.86 harmodynes. Mars squared Jupiter has 7.52 astrodynes. 1/2 subtracted for Jupiter and 1/4 added for Mars is equivalent to 1/4 subtracted. 7.52 divided by 4 gives 1.88. 7.52 - 1.88 gives the aspect 5.64 discordynes. Mars square Neptune has 7.98 astrodynes. 7.98 divided by 4 gives 2.00. 7.98 + 2.00 gives the aspect 9.98 discordynes. 5.64 + 9.98 gives Mars 15.62 discordynes. 15.62 discordynes minus 13.86 harmodynes gives Mars a net total of 1.76 discordynes. Jupiter is in mutual reception with the Sun, which gives it 5.00 harmodynes, and in mutual reception with Pluto, which gives it another 5.00 harmodynes. Jupiter semi-sextile Saturn has 0.23 astrodynes. As the 1/2 added for Jupiter is subtracted for Saturn, this gives the aspect 0.23 harmodynes. Jupiter conjunction Neptune has 9.50 astrodynes. Dividing 9.50 by 2 gives the aspect 4.75 harmodynes. Jupiter parallel Pluto has 5.40 astrodynes. Dividing 5.40 by 2 gives the aspect 2.70 harmodynes. Jupiter semi-sextile Pluto has 0.15 astrodynes. Dividing 0.15 by 2 gives 0.08. 0.15 plus 0.08 gives the aspect 0.23 harmodynes. Jupiter sextile MC has 6.68 astrodynes. Dividing 6.68 by 2 gives 3.34. 6.68 plus 3.34 gives the aspect 10.02 harmodynes. Jupiter Trinusk has 1.18 astrodynes. Dividing 1.18 by 2 gives 0.59. 1.18 plus 0.59 gives the aspect 1.77 harmodynes. 5 plus 5 plus 0.23 plus 4.75 plus 2.70 plus 0.23 plus 10.02 plus 1.77 gives Jupiter 29.70 harmodynes. As previously calculated, Jupiter square Mars has 5.64 discordynes. Thus Jupiter has 5.64 discordynes. 29.70 harmodynes minus 5.64 discordynes gives Jupiter net total of 24.06 harmodynes. Saturn is in its harmony, which gives it 1 harmodyne. As previously calculated, Saturn sextile Mars has 0.94 harmodynes. As previously calculated, Saturn semi-sextile Jupiter has 0.23 harmodynes. Saturn sextile Pluto has 5.92 astrodynes. 5.92 divided by 2 gives the aspect 2.96 harmodynes. Saturn semi-sextile MC has 1.55 astrodynes. 1.55 divided by 2 gives the aspect 0.78 harmodynes. 1.00 plus 0.94 plus 0.23 plus 2.96 plus 0.78 gives Saturn 5.91 harmodynes. As previously calculated, Saturn opposition Moon has 6.38 discordynes. As previously calculated, Saturn opposition Venus has 5.06 discordynes. Saturn parallel Uranus has 7.07 astrodynes. 7.07 divided by 2 gives the aspect 3.54 discordines. Saturn opposition Uranus has 4.45 astrodines. 4.45 divided by 2 gives 2.23. 4.45 plus 2.23 gives the aspect 6.68 discordines. 6.38 plus 5.06 plus 3.54 plus 6.68 gives Saturn 21.66 discordines. 21.66 discordines minus 5.91 harmodines gives Saturn a net total of 15.75 discordines. As the other aspects in the John Edwards chart have the same number of harmodines or discordines as they have astrodines, a comparison of the power grill on page 39 with the harmony grill on page 40 will show how the harmony or discord of each of the other's planets is obtained. Calculating the harmony or discord of each sign and how's the calculation of the harmony or discord of a sign in the birth chart, or the harmony or discord of a given house, is a very simple matter once the net total harmony or discord of each planet has been computed in harmodines or discordines. The harmony or discord of a birth chart sign rule, unless it is an intercepted sign, or occupies more than one house, the unoccupied harmony or discord of a sign is one half the net harmony or net discord of its ruler. The unoccupied harmony or discord of an intercepted sign is 1/4 the net harmony or net discord of its ruler. When a sign occupies the cusp of more than one house, its unoccupied harmony or discord is ascertained by allowing 1/2 the harmony or discord of its ruler for each house cusp it occupies. The total harmony or discord of a sign is ascertained by algebraically adding its unoccupied harmony or discord to the harmony or discord of each planet including MC or USC in the sign. The harmony or discord of a birth chart house rule to the unoccupied harmony or discord of the sign on the cusp as influencing one house. Algebraically add the unoccupied harmony or discord of any intercepted sign in the house and the net total harmony or discord of each planet including MC or USC in the house. Double rulership sign Scorpio is ruled by both Pluto and Mars. Aquarius is ruled by both Uranus and Saturn. Pisces is ruled by both Neptune and Jupiter. Rule when a sign has two rulers. Algebraically add the net total harmony or discord of both rulers and divide by 2. The result will be the harmony or discord, in reality the average harmony or discord of the two rulers of the ruler of the sign. As finding the harmony or discord of each sign and house is based upon the net harmony or discord of the planets, let us refer to the planetary harmony grill on page 40 of this lesson. To ascertain the total net harmony or net discord of each planet, and proceed to calculate the harmony or discord of the signs and houses in the John Edwards chart. In so doing, we will find it a great saving of work to calculate the harmony or discord of signs and houses at the same time. Sagittarius is on the USC Jupiter, its ruler has 24.06 harmodines. Dividing 24.06 by 2 gives unoccupied Sagittarius 12.03 harmodines. The USC has 2.72 discordines. 12.03 minus 2.72 gives Sagittarius 9.31 harmodines. As no other planet is in the first house, the first house also has 9.31 harmodines. Saturn has 15.75 discordines. Dividing 15.75 by 2 gives unoccupied Capricorn 7.88 discordines. As no planet is in the sign, Capricorn has 7.88 discordines. Aquarius has two rulers. Saturn, one ruler, has 15.75 discordines. Uranus, the other ruler, has 0.86 harmodines. 15.75 minus 0.86 gives 14.89. 14.89 divided by 8 1/4 of average, as Aquarius is intercepted, gives unoccupied Aquarius 1.86 discordines. As no planet is in the sign, Aquarius has 1.86 discordines. Venus in the second house has 8.21 harmodines. 7.88 Capricorn plus 1.86 Aquarius gives 9.74 discordines. 9.74 minus 8.21 Venus gives the second house 1.53 discordines. Pisces house 2 rulers. Jupiter, 1 ruler, has 24.06 harmodines. Neptune, the other ruler, has 7.63 harmodines. 24.06 plus 7.63 gives 31.69. 31.69 divided by 4 1/2 average gives unoccupied Pisces 7.92 harmodines. Four planets are in Pisces. Venus has 8.21 harmodines. Sun has 5.07 harmodines. Uranus has 0.86 harmodines. 7.92 unoccupied Pisces plus 8.21 plus 5.07 plus 0.86 gives 22.06 harmodines. Moon has 6.76 discordines. 22.06 minus 6.76 gives Pisces 15.30 harmodines. The third house has four planets. 7.92 unoccupied Pisces plus 0.86 Uranus plus 5.07 Sun gives 13.85 harmodines. 6.76 Moon plus 6.91 Mercury gives 13.67 discordines. 13.85 minus 13.67 gives the third house 0.18 harmodines. Mars has 1.76 discordines. 1.76 divided by 2 gives unoccupied Aries 0.88 discordines. As no planet is in the house, and Aries is on its cusp, this gives the fourth house 0.88 discordines. Mercury, in Aries, has 6.91 discordines. 6.91 plus 0.88 unoccupied Aries gives Aries 7.79 discordines. Venus has 8.21 harmodines. As Taurus holds no planet, but occupies two house cusps, it has the full value of Venus. It has 8.21 harmodines. The fifth and sixth houses hold no planets. Dividing 8.21 Venus by 2 gives the 5th house 4.11 harmodines, and the 6th house also 4.11 harmodines. Mercury has 6.91 discordines. Dividing 6.91 by 2 gives Gemini 3.46 discordines. Pluto, in the 7th, has 17.10 harmodines. 17.10 minus 3.46 Gemini gives the 7th house 13.64 harmodines. The moon has 6.76 discordines. Dividing 6.76 by 2 gives unoccupied Cancer 3.38 discordines. 17.10 Pluto in Cancer minus 3.38 gives Cancer 13.72 harmodines. The Sun has 5.07 harmodines. Dividing 1.07 by 4, as Leo is intercepted, gives unoccupied Leo 1.27 harmodines. Jupiter and Neptune are in Leo. 1.27 unoccupied Leo plus 24.06 Jupiter plus 7.63 Neptune gives Leo 32.96 harmodines. 32.96 Leo minus 3.38 unoccupied Cancer, as Cancer is on its cusp, gives the 8th house 29.58 harmodines. Mercury has 6.91 discordines. Dividing 6.91 by 2 gives unoccupied Virgo 3.46 discordines. Saturn, in Virgo, has 15.75 discordines. 3.46 unoccupied Virgo plus 15.75 Saturn gives Virgo 19.21 discordines. As Virgo is on its cusp and Saturn the only planet in the house, this gives the ninth house also 19.21 discordines. Venus has 8.21 harmodines. Dividing 8.21 by 2 gives unoccupied Libra 4.11 harmodines. MC in Libra has 4.79 harmodines. 4.11 unoccupied Libra plus 4.79 MC gives Libra 8.90 harmodines. As Libra is on its cusp, and there is no other planet in the house, this gives the 10th house also 8.90 harmodines. Scorpio has two rulers. Mars, one ruler, has 1.76 discordines. Pluto, the other ruler, has 17.10 harmodines. 17.10 minus 1.76 gives 15.34 harmodines. Dividing 15.34 by 4 1/2 average gives unoccupied Scorpio 3.84 harmodines for each house cusp it occupies. As no planet is in the 12th, this gives the 12th house 3.84 harmodines. Mars in the 11th has 1.76 discordines. 3.84 Scorpio on its cusp minus 1.76 Mars gives the 11th house 2.08 harmodines. 3.84 plus 3.84 Scorpio on two house cusps gives unoccupied Scorpio 7.68 harmodines. 7.68 minus 1.76 Mars in Scorpio gives Scorpio 5.92 harmodines.